this could be a disaster. It's probably going to be a disaster, isn't it?
You never know. We can try.
Okay. Let's give it a try then. Shall we introduce ourselves?
I think that's the best way to start off.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, hi everyone. My name is Dr. Barbara Barreiro and I'm an expert on Eurovision and identities.
And my name is Maria Zapata. I am not an expert on anything. I love Eurovision and I really enjoy looking into the geopolitics and that kind of thing. And this is a new podcast called The Eurovision Files.
We hope you like it. So with this new podcast, we aim to analyze, discuss, comment on different Eurovision years. And of course, because it's the first program and Eurovision just happened 2 weeks ago, we're going to be starting off with Eurovision 2023 and what happened before these song contests before May.
Yeah, I think it's good to know what happened in Europe the year before the show, that it shaped the show itself.
Yes, so whatever happens around the show, it's going to be shaping what happened in the show, the songs as well, some of the votes, why not? And that's why I want to address that before going into the actual songs and the performances. So maybe I can start talking you through what happened in Europe before May 2023. So the first big thing probably was Ukraine and the war that was originated in 2022 and sadly is still going on. And then France went on a long strike over the age of retirement. I'm not even sure if that's finished now or still going on too.
Yeah, I think it's still ongoing.
Okay, thank you for that, Maria. And many European countries and also Israel held general or also parliamentary elections. Italy elected its first far-right president since the Second World War, and a pope died, but still nothing happened because there was another pope in place around that time. At the cost of living, an energy crisis brought a new winter of discontent. And as I mentioned earlier, because what happened in Ukraine, they couldn't host this year. So the UK stepped in because they were runner-ups last year. And Eurovision happened in the UK, in Liverpool.
Yeah, and the UK had a very busy year, the month after Eurovision last year. So a British Royal celebration, and then the period before the new song contest had another royal celebration. This time it was the coronation. And in political news, a letters beat our prime minister in the lasting game. Another prime minister lost over a party, and millions struggled to pay bills and to pay rent. And it was in this context that the Eurovision Song Contest took place for the first time in 25 years. 7 cities were shortlisted. Then that came down to 2 cities, Glasgow and Liverpool. And it was finally announced last year that Liverpool would be, with its long musical tradition, the one that won the race and that would host the contest in May.
So now we're moving to Liverpool, where Eurovision was hosted this year. And it's worth mentioning that it's a city that historically saw a lot of immigrants coming. There's a great tradition of the sea and all the maritime landscape around it. Also, musical environments as well. We all know the Beatles were from Liverpool, as well as many other artists and musicians. And I think it was a very good choice to go for Liverpool. I have to say that people were extremely friendly with everyone. They had a great infrastructure to host Eurovision. And of course, it has great connections with all around Europe and in terms of flights and transports. And I was really, really glad to see how Ukraine was represented all around the city. Everything was blue and yellow, reminding ourselves the flag of Ukraine, also the Eurovision logo. It has these three colors this year. One is blue, and the other one is yellow, and the other one is kind of a pink color, probably representing the UK flag as well. And say that there was like heritage representations of Ukraine around the city too, the music, and there was like some inflatable sculptures reminding of birds that were original from Ukraine. So you could actually feel that even though it was held here in the UK, it was a Ukrainian
Celebration.
celebration. Yeah, let's say celebration, because it was actually how we felt when we were down in Liverpool.
Yeah, we were there for almost a whole week. And yeah, I think it was amazing, as you say, how Ukraine was represented. It was, I think, very cool how they had the Eurovision Village where lots of Ukrainian artists were playing as well. It was obvious that Ukraine was the host of the party. They were definitely there to shine. So I think that was a very cool thing that Liverpool pulled off, to be honest. So how did you feel about like the atmosphere, you know, the how like the city, how they connected with all the fans coming from all over the world?
I think they were very welcoming. That's how I felt. Because yeah, I live up north in Scotland. I'm from Spain, so I have this weird identity myself.
Yeah.
But I felt like really, really welcoming, and people were really helpful, friendly, and everyone seemed to be in the mood for Eurovision. Everyone on the streets, every single shop had like Eurovision logos and some kind of discounts or adverts. So it was like a city like Eurovision themed, and I really like that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I think yeah, like as you say, every single business in the city was completely in the mood. We took a few Ubers and taxis, and everyone was talking about it and making predictions about who was going to win and what they thought about the songs, which clearly shows how invested they were in the whole thing being successful as well. You know, we don't know when it's going to happen again in the UK, but quite possibly it's probably started a new wave of enjoyment about the whole thing. I think for a very long time, people had really forgotten about it. They just felt it was too political. And I think this year the competition was very strong, and it probably showed that it could be a contest about the music and not necessarily about countries being friendly to one another.
Yeah, you're right. I think there's a Eurovision hype going on at the moment. And also in terms of music, I saw that at least four entries have entered the charts, the UK charts, this last week. So that didn't happen the previous years, I think.
Yeah. So the first thing that we're going to do is talk about the first semi-final that took place on Tuesday, the 9th of May. And this was, I think we both agreed, this was the strongest semi-final.
Yes, definitely.
Spoiler alert, but the winner came from here. The second place came from this one as well. So definitely the strongest. And I think, obviously, because there was a stronger semi-final, the shame here is that we probably think there were a couple of songs that didn't go through that could have made it if they had been in the second semi-final. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the first semi-final was like very, very strong, and everyone agreed even before it happened that the winner would came out of this first semi-final. And then the second semi-final, of course, we still had, well, I'm going a little bit ahead, but we still have like great songs and artists and performances. But I think if things were like moved around a little bit, people from the first semi-final would go through, and probably less of the artists from the second one could go straight to the final. But yeah, I think if you'd ask me, I think Malta should have gone through. That's my idea.
Yeah, probably Malta, maybe Latvia. I think Latvia was quite like alternative rock song. Maybe not necessarily a winner, but something that you could listen to outside the Eurovision bubble?
Yeah, the thing this year is that there were like too many probably boy rock bands. There were like 4 or 5. So we all know historically that just one or two would go to the final. And this year it was like overcrowded. And Malta and Latvia had the same vibe, I think. Probably Latvia was more rocky.
Yeah, I think Malta would have worked better in the final. It was colorful. They moved a lot around. It was very catchy. They had the dance. So yeah, definitely one that I'm not going to say we were surprised to see them drop because there were so many strong songs there, but it was the one that we felt deserved a little bit more love that they got.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
We should have probably said, first of all, we got lots of respect for everyone that participated this year. Very strong contest all around. You know, you sometimes might disagree with what you see on stage, but at the end of the day, everyone is putting themselves forward to do this. They do it 4 times in a couple of days, and then if they go to the final, it's another 4 times that they have to go on stage. So definitely, whatever we think about the songs, the utmost respect for everybody.
What do you think about the second semi-final? We already said that it was not as strong, but still very good act.
Second semi-final, maybe a little bit weaker. Denmark was better in the rehearsals than they were on TV. We all had the reaction of what's going on with the boys. It went a little bit off.
Yes, I have to agree with you here, Maria, because yeah, the voice, I think Riley was probably too tired after all the rehearsals, and the voice didn't resist the final show. And Denmark, it was one of the favorites at the very beginning, because still the song is quite catchy and it has this Eurovision vibe, but I think the voice let Riley down. And I think also Iceland was a good song, and I have to say that it grew on me over the last few days when I was like rewatching everything and re-listening to the song list, and I think Iceland was a very good contestant. But of course, not all of them can go through. I also liked San Marino, but again, yeah, and San Marino came last of all the songs to the round down and the voting.
Yeah, they definitely didn't deserve that.
No, of course not. But you mentioned this earlier that it was a very high quality year, and last year was very strong. And there was like, I see a difference between the pre-pandemic Eurovision contest and the post-pandemic. And every year the quality is higher and higher.
Yeah, I wonder if during the pandemic 2020, the contest didn't happen. We had Fire Saga, which we love. I think it probably became really popular worldwide, and countries might have realized that they really had an opportunity there to showcase what they had to provide in the musical sphere. So now, especially having this opportunity to have voting all over the world, it's probably going to become more popular, and people are not going to take it anymore as this quiche and niche thing that they have once a year. It's going to be something that countries take seriously, and definitely this year, for the most part, they took it very seriously.
Yeah, it's good to see. Are there any acts that you think they should have gone through to the final that didn't? Or are you something like somehow surprised that some of them did go to the final?
I think I'm not particularly surprised about the ones that went through. Maybe Poland is one that I wouldn't have put through. You know, if you're going to do Latin music or something that doesn't necessarily showcase your country, do it properly. And I don't think it was necessarily the best act. So people like last year Chanel, this year with Noah Kirel, they did it very well. You know, they knew what they were doing. And I think Blanca tried her best, but I don't think it worked that well. Maybe for, you know, Polish audiences, it was good enough. And I think that's what happens with many of the acts that go through to the semifinals, and even with the big five. They go through because they are liked in their countries, but they don't necessarily work when they are shown to the rest of Europe and to the rest of the world. I definitely think Poland, you know, there were probably better acts in that semi-final. Like you say, San Marino, for example, I would have chosen them. It's also because I prefer the style, that musical style, rather than the one that Blanca brought. But that's just me.
I don't know if you know, but there was some controversy regarding Poland this year.
Oh, I didn't know.
So when the national selection happened, apparently like the audience voted for someone else, but the jury vote went to Blanca. And it's quite similar to what happened last year with our very own Chanel.
Oh, yes. I think there are always going to be questions about the jury, the televote. It's something that will come up a little bit later as well during the final. But yes, I think it's one of those key elements. Sometimes the jury might have too much power to do something. But we know as well this year is probably a little bit more standard all over the continent because in the past we've had some countries doing televote, some countries doing jury, and I think for the first time the whole semi-final was done with the televote, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, if they had a discrepancy there, probably it affected the result when it was thrown into the international voting system.
Yeah, and this time for the first time we had the rest of the world voting. So it's interesting to see also how the rest of the world sees Eurovision. Because there's always this discussion like, yeah, everyone outside Europe, they don't get it. Well, of course, we include Australia in Europe in this context, but yeah, they don't know what Eurovision is about and they won't ever get it. So yeah, it's also good to see how they voted the rest of the world. So shall we move to the final?
Yeah, let's do that. I think that's what everyone probably looking forward to. So the final was on Saturday, the 13th of May this year. And shall we mention first the hosts of the final? I think they probably deserve a special mention. We both agree that Hannah Waddingham was the best thing ever. She was so excited about the whole thing.
Yes, you could see that in the rehearsals, cheering up people from the audience, blowing them kisses. And she was like, yeah, this is super fun. I don't know if she was a fan before that, but you could see how she was really engaged with not just doing the hosting, but also enjoying the whole experience that Eurovision brings.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think we liked her before. We're both fans of Ted Lasso, but I think after Eurovision, we're definitely fans for life now. So that was very cool. Also, we had Alicia Dixon, quite famous for hosting some programs in the UK, probably not so much for international audiences, but obviously she will have become very popular. And then Julia Sanina, who was the representative for the Ukrainian delegation hosting. She did an amazing job. She was very active and cheery, but at the same time, I think she also expressed very well how her country is still a country in the middle of a war, and everyone had a lot of solidarity for everybody, but obviously they expressed it as well with her. So that was very nice. And then Graham Norton, who is also very popular in the UK, he also appeared in Fire Saga doing exactly the role that he normally does. But this year he was also on stage for a while. And I want to mention Mel Gidroy, who was commenting on the UK side of things, but also had a special appearance baking batter, we think. That was a very random thing, and it was, her attitude. But I have to say, every time you see her on TV, that's what she does. So, or that's how she acts. So it was completely on character. So she was great.
Yeah, it was a reminder of that Polish entry of this very stunning woman making butter.
Yeah, it's funny how they sometimes reference like past acts as well, and obviously for someone that joins watching for the first time, they're like, what's going on here?
Can you imagine the rest of the world watching that?
Exactly. If you've never watched Eurovision, just remember there are very strange acts every single year. And I think this year, if we have to highlight one, that's probably Croatia. So we might want to talk about them first.
I have to say that I wasn't sure that they were to the final. I felt that the first semifinal was so strong that they had no chance. But in the end, people liked it. It was the song good message, an anti-war message, but yeah, the
Yeah, it was
outfit,
there was a yeah, well, there was a political context there.
but the outfits and the way they acted, it was very, very different from the rest of the acts. And it reminded me of those Eurovision entries from the late 2000s. And probably this will stick with us for the long run, and we will remember Croatia in 10 years' time.
Yeah, it's that kind of act that just go a little bit crazy on stage, and you know, at the end of the day, you're going to remember those things because they create a bit of chaos. We saw that with Verka Serduszka. It's probably something interesting to remember that there can only be six people on stage in the Eurovision, in any Eurovision act, and with Verka, with the Croatian act this year, we had Chicle Quatre in Spain. It feels like there are more people on stage because of the chaos they create, and then people remember that. So I think that's probably why Croatia went through. People, I'm not sure they wanted them to win because they had promised that they were going to get naked and perform the song naked. So that might have, you know, played against them.
Yeah, probably you're right.
So I think what we can do is, obviously there are 26 songs, it's a lot of them. Probably we can choose a few songs that each of us thought were worth mentioning. You go first.
Yeah, so of course I have to go with my favorite act for this year. Probably it's not a surprise. It's Sweden. Yeah, I love Loreen as an artist, and of course I loved her since 2012, since Euphoria, and I think she deserved to make history this year. I like her too, I like the song, but the way she put it on screen and on stage is just out of this world. And I think if you listen to the song, like album edit or whatever, it's not the same as being there and see it and feel it and also see her movements and her passion. And I have to say that even though I also really like Finland, I wanted her to win. And I have to confess something. When the voting happened, I voted for both of them. I voted for Sweden and for Finland. Because I actually like them both, and I was gonna be happy either way, but that Loreen deserved to make history for Sweden and for herself as well this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the same. She was my favorite going in. I think from, obviously this is not the way it should be done, but I think from the moment they said that Loreen was going to be their representative for Sweden, I thought, oh, this is going to be tough to beat without having even heard the song. As you say, incredible performer. She feels the stage. She filled it in 2012. She filled it in 2023 just by herself. And I think it was an amazing performance that deserved all the credit that she got. And like, yeah, since you mentioned Finland, I wasn't so sure at the beginning, but I have to say, as the week went through, I think we both ended up finding ourselves singing the song all the time. And probably it was more popular with the crowds than Loreen's. I think we were at some point in the Eurovision Village, and definitely the crowd went for it with Karja. And maybe not so much with Loreen, but it might have been just because they were stunned and they were just watching her, because I felt like that.
Yeah, people were cheering for Loreen when she ended the performance, but with Karja and Finland, they were all the way through, like all singing cha cha cha. But it's probably how the song is built. You want this energy, and you have this energy, and you just start pumping and pumping. And I really like Finland even before going to Liverpool. But when we actually got there, a lot of people wearing green, and everywhere you would see somewhere and someone with Karja's style at some point. So yeah, I was really happy for him. But of course I'm sure he wanted to win. But at least he won the public vote.
Yeah, and I think it's worth remembering as well that there are many acts throughout the years that didn't win, but they went on to have careers just the same as the winners, and they are still remembered. We had, you know, Ukrainian acts in the final that people thought they had won, actually, you know, like Go Away, and they didn't win, but they are super popular, and it's many people's favorite song from Eurovision. So I think he is going to become one of those people that anyone will remember him as a winner, even if he didn't win. And he has to be a winner in Finland's eyes.
Yeah, he's one of those epic performers. And people will remember that over the years. Another one that I really, really liked was Norway. Also did them with the jury boat. Still don't know why, but the audience really liked it and ended up in the top five. I think it was the song itself, the lyrics, they're very powerful. And Alessandra does it really, really good. But I think that probably the staging could have been like more powerful, because when I was listening to this song on the playlist before going to Liverpool, I was like, yeah, this is a banger and this is a very good song, a strong song. But the staging, I was missing like some fire or some pyrotechnics, something, I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I guess it probably was a bit reminiscent of like the Vikings and stuff. So it went really well with the whole country vibe, or what you would probably expect from someone like Norway. Not that they always do that, but you know, it matched very well what you might expect to see if you're just looking for, you know, something relatable to the country. And I think, yeah, it might have been missing something. It was maybe a little bit too dark and it didn't have enough pyrotechnics that others had. So
yeah,
that might have worked against her. But yeah, as you say, she won the popular vote, she didn't win it, but she went very high there. So you know, the public definitely liked her.
Yeah, the Viking scene I really like. Identities for me, Czech in Norway and Czech in Finland, because Kariya sang in Finnish. And I have to say, Sweden, yeah, well, Sweden can do whatever they want because they kind of invented pop songs. So yeah, Czech identity for me, for Sweden. And
I like that. Sweden can do whatever they like. Yeah. That's a Swedish identity.
Sweden, the pop songs in English, it's Swedish. We know that. Look at ABBA and all the producers they have. They write songs for people in the US, for Backstreet Boys and Justin Bieber. So,
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, it's actually Sweden. So it's part of their identity, pop songs in English. So
there are many popular bands that come from Sweden and people, you know, might not even realize. The Cardigans are from Sweden. Nene Cherry is from Sweden. So, you know, there are many bands that they would think they might come from America or they might come from the UK, and no, they're Swedish and that's them. So yeah, they could do whatever they wanted.
That, right?
I might be surprised if I ever see them doing the Viking thing.
Yeah, I would be surprised as well. And then I really like also Italy. I mean, regarding identities, there's no other guy in Italy who looks more Italian than Marco Mengoni. And also, everything in Italian sounds better. The language itself, I think, has like this romantic, touchy vibe. And I really, really like how he put everything on the screen and on the stage, because I'm talking about the screen and the stage because we were there and then we saw and we watched some of the shows on screen. So yeah, it has a different feeling, but still is the same kind of experience. And I think the way he performed was very, very powerful. You could see that at the very end of the song, his voice broke. And it was not how it's supposed to be, because in the rehearsal this didn't happen, but because he got so emotional, I think, and you could see a good performer there when you get emotional about your own song, even though you've probably rehearsed that song 1,000 times beforehand. Still, it was, yeah, I have to say that I didn't really expect Italy to go as high in the votes, but I was gladly surprised by it.
Yeah, I think it was a very good performance. I think he clearly was a bit disappointed about the result. I think, you know, it's just one of those years where there were so many good songs and so many strong contenders that he was always going to be somewhere slightly below the top three. But he ended up in a very good position and very good song. I think the songs this year that people went for were more powerful in the sense of like the staging and so on. You know, Marco was, it was him and his voice, and I think that might have gone against him as well. But definitely a very, very strong performance and a very good score at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, well done, him.
Yeah, and it was very typical of Italy as well, the musica leggera.
Yes.
So, big tick for Italy in terms of identities. And also, special points to Marco, because we said earlier on that Italy had elected its first far-right president. But he came out in the flag parade with a pride flag. So special points to him as well. And my last big five, or well, top five for me, was Albania. And I know Albania, it don't end up very good in the final votes. But in terms of, yes, identities, it's one of those countries that always deliver in terms of identities. They usually sing in Albanian. They have this representation of the Albanian flag, very red and black, and they show their ethnicity and their heritage. And I really, really like that about Eurovision. And I remember watching Eurovision in the 2000s, and a lot of the songs were about ethnicity and identities. And Albania puts on stage everything alike about Eurovision, and it's a shame that not a lot of people go for that. But I think even in the rest of the world votes, they got some votes, so good for them. And I really, really like Albania this time.
Yeah, I think when countries, like we've said before, it's an opportunity for them to showcase what they've got in their country in terms of you know, musical performers, but also can they show some of the culture? Can they show some of their, you know, ethnicity, as you say, nationality, traditions? And I think they did that very well. And I believe maybe in the rest of the world, it might have been even, I mean, I'm not sure, you probably have this information better than I do, but they might have done better than other countries in the sense of, you know, It's just one of those things that you don't normally get to see. So I can't imagine someone from America thinking, oh my God, this is so incredible, and I didn't realize that, you know, this kind of music was even done, or this kind of performance were done, because it's not what you get to see internationally.
Yeah.
So yeah, kudos to them.
So I was looking at the rest of the votes, the rest of the world votes, and Albania got 6 points.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, 12 Israel, 10 Finland, 8 Armenia, 7 Sweden, 6 Albania, 5 Ukraine, 4 Norway, 3 Croatia, 2 Spain, and 1 France.
There you go. That's, yeah.
Good position.
So it shows that they definitely were popular.
Yeah. Rest of the world almost liked them as much as they liked Loreen, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the voting system is basically scoring the top 10 of that country. So if they were six, or if they got 6 points there, it means they were middle of the table of the top 10. So it's great.
True. So Shall we go with your choices?
My top five. Yeah. Okay. Obviously, you know, skipping Sweden, who was my favorite, and so on. You know, the ones that you have already mentioned. I think I'm going to, first of all, mention Austria. They had, I think it was a very popular song. People were definitely singing it all around. I've seen videos of, you know, people in the Eurovision village just singing it. It was being played in bars, etc. And it was a very catchy song about, you know, it wasn't about a problem that musicians have these days, but it included that problem, which is the very meager commission that they get for being played online on places like Spotify and so on. That 0.003 that they say it's in reference to that. I think, you know, everyone sort of got the message, even the part about Edgar Allan Poe, which apparently was because their agent didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to think, really? But anyway, I think maybe I've had expected them to be a lot higher than they were. The problem possibly was on their performance. Not, you know, again, maximum respect for them. But I think maybe they were let down by the choreography and so on. I was watching some of the videos that we took ourselves when we went to the arena. It felt very far away and very detached. You know, it wasn't something that was in your face. Also, the fact that they were first to sing, and that, as we know, is usually an issue because people forget about you. But yeah, I thought that probably deserved a little bit more love than it got. How about you?
Yeah, I think it was like the fan favorite when it was announced that this song was going to represent Austria, and you could see also people singing the po 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 all around Liverpool, and people with t-shirts of Edgar Allan Poe. But I think, yeah, coming first in the final is always a bad omen. And but again, they were let down by the performance. You could see like the stage was empty, even though there were two of them and also dancers at the back. But again, it was a surprise. I was in the press room when the votes were announced, and when they announced the votes for Austria, all of us went like, what? So even that was surprising, because everyone thought that they would end up top 10, no questions asked. And this wasn't the case. But yeah, I like the song, but I think the performance and coming first, as you said, Maria, it was not good for them.
Yeah, shame, but what can we do? Another one that I would mention is probably Belgium. I thought, initially I didn't really like the whole look of Gustav. I thought, you know, the styling and so on, not, you know, I don't mind how he looks, but I'm talking about the styling itself. But yeah, I thought it didn't necessarily work. However, when I saw the whole thing, when I saw the whole performance, I thought it was great. The song and the whole visuals, the backdrop, it all looked like it matched perfectly, the whole vibe. So when I saw that, I thought, okay, this is going to be strong. And I think it ended up in a very good position, probably, you know, what I would have expected. Definitely, I would say, not necessarily one of those countries that you can say they are showing their identities.
No.
But not at all. But, you know, the whole, there was a 90s vibe to it that I thought was very cool. Very serious performer, I think. It's a song that I can't imagine myself listening to in years and thinking, I really like this. So very all excellent package to go on stage for Eurovision this year. What do you think?
When I was listening to all the songs weeks before going, Belgium was among my favorites. Because I think the song is quite good. And again, the message is also very good. And it happens to me, as again, with Belgium and Austria, that there's no identity there. And but of course, I cannot really judge their songs regarding the identity, but it's something that is really strong with me and my research. So that was missing for me with the Belgian entry, even though I really like the song.
But there, you're always going to have a mix of people showcasing that identity and that visual, you know, that culture in their whole performance. And this year they chose to go that route. It's fine. From time to time, it's okay. But yeah, I really like that. I was very surprised because I think it had gone completely off my radar before we went there. And then I listened to it and I thought, oh yeah, I like it. And another one that I liked as well, although I would say not necessarily, I didn't like the performance particularly. I didn't like how they went on stage, but I I just like the song was Lithuania. I know that you consider it the it's a bit of a Lion King song, or a Disney song.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I've actually been listening to it a few times this past week, and I thought, yeah, it's nice. I like the story about the girl who was singing with Monica, who comes from Essex in the UK, and they met in a bar, and apparently she said that she loved Eurovision, and Monica said, if I ever go, I'll take you, and she took her. So I think that's a very nice thing as well. It's one of those things that, you know, probably, you know, you might throw a couple of points just because of how nice she was. But yeah, I like the song, and I think Monica seemed very happy to be there for all the videos that we've seen with the conga and jumping, like, you know, photobombing everyone. Again, a serious contender, one of those that just wants to have a very strong song. I just think, you know, it probably went past people's eyes without acknowledging what she did, because it didn't really have anything special.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. For me, it didn't have anything special to remember the song by. And it's nice listening to this song, but it's just, yeah, it's another song. It sounded to me like a thousand songs I've listened to before. And yes, reminds me of The Lion King and any other Disney movie song. This is a kind of tune that it's gentle to the ear, but in the end, for me, there was nothing there. And it's probably one of those entries that I think, if they were in the first semifinal, probably wouldn't have entered the grand final.
No, definitely. Good song. Is it a Eurovision song? That's probably the question. But yeah, I mentioned it because I have been listening to it a few times. And I thought, if in the music overload that I am at the moment, if you manage to sneak into my playlists, like you would sneak into my DMs, it means that you are doing something right. So why not? Australia was so cool. I think it's one of those that I didn't really pay attention to before going there. And then we saw them in the semi-final and I thought, this is nice. And then they started becoming more and more popular in the next couple of days. And yeah, I mean, I think we were all going for it with Australia. Very strong rock 80s song, I think. Yeah, I think it had an 80s vibe, or like with the long hairs and the kind of strong guitars and the car on stage. Performance-wise, it was very good. And the song is great, and I'm very happy that Australia finally did, you know, they finally got a good position in the final. And I think they're excited again about going, to future events. I think they had considered dropping, but it's not going to happen now.
Yeah, there were some rumors, but yeah, totally scrapped by the moment. And I really like Australia as well, but I like them live. Because when I was listening to all the songs and watching all the videos before going to Liverpool, it was like an okay song, but I think it's a kind of song that live, it's very good. And you could see the energy of the performers, and people were really living for it. So yeah, well done, Australia.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant when I said it went off my radar. I listened to the whole playlist, and I don't think I particularly remember that song. Then very cool. Well done, Australia, for finally getting a song in there that everyone wanted to listen to, and with a very good performance. And yeah, I mean, I had a couple of other countries in my list that we've mentioned already, so I think I'm gonna throw the last one in there, which was not on my list, Moldavia.
Oh,
what was going on there? Yeah, it was strange. I mean, it was very strangely attractive, very cool, the whole vibe of the song. Not really sure about the whole performance, but I think the song was actually very cool. And again, it's one song that I found myself listening to as the week went along. So yeah, and I think visually and cultural identities, you're probably going to agree with me. They were there.
Yes. Yeah, they were definitely there. So identities check for Moldavia for me. And I think Moldavia last year also did show their identity, and I really, really like it. This year, they sang in their own language and they put up some of their heritage. They were even playing this special flute from Moldavia, and yeah, I really like Moldavia. And again, it's one of those songs that went off my radar before going to Liverpool, and then on a stage it's something completely different, and I really like the performance.
Yeah, special mention probably the Big Five. We've already spoken about Italy. We didn't mention Ukraine. Good song, but yeah, not necessarily a winner.
No identities.
No identities. I think there was a bit of controversy about the fact that they showed the name of the city that they came from, but then it was sort of explained, the fact that while they were playing, the city was being bombed. So the fact that they were really, you know, the whole, probably their families were under attack, that's something that you understand it. I mean, it you know, there was no action against them. But yeah, Big Five, we've already spoken about Italy, they did very well. But then we have France, Spain, Germany, and the UK. And as together with Italy, they're the Big Five because they are the countries that contribute the most to the EBU. And they ended up bottom half of the table. And in fact, I would say bottom quarter, most of them. What do you think about that?
Well, I have to say that I think my favorite song of all these Big Five, apart from Italy, was probably France. I really like France, the representation, how he put it there. Probably not so much about the staging. It was very hierarchical, no movement, and I didn't like that. But identities were there. The French flag was all over, and also how she sang the inspiration of Edith Piaf behind the performance, which I really like. I also think that...
I read somewhere that also it was a mix between Edith Piaf and Daft Punk, and I thought it works. It's still French.
Yeah. I think probably Germany, they didn't deserve to come last.
I might disagree there. I did not particularly like them. It really went off my radar, and I still don't remember the song, if I'm totally honest with you. You know, I'm sure. I believe they're very popular in Germany. I did check, and they were they got to number one with their album. So definitely, it's something that works there. They might have been thrown in there in the shadow of people like Lordi, and I don't think it worked. Sorry.
Yeah, I think as we said, this year was a very strong year with a lot of high quality. I say they didn't deserve to come last, but who do I think deserved to come last? I don't have an option. I cannot really say any other performer or song that they didn't deserve to have any points. There were songs that I probably didn't like. For example, I didn't like Spain. I think she sings very well. She has a powerful voice, but the song itself, again, doesn't say anything at all. There's almost no lyrics.
Yeah, it is a lullaby with no message. You know, I appreciate the fact that she wanted to showcase flamenco with a mix of electronics. She might have come under the shadow of Rosalía, trying to do something maybe a little bit similar to what Rosalía did in the first album, but I don't think it worked in the international stage. I don't think it, you know, the performance was great. I'm not complaining about her. Her performance was great. It's probably the staging that didn't work. All these red beats on the stage. I remember being in the semi-final and looking at that and thinking, I don't think this is going to work. Maybe on TV it was better. I haven't really paid attention to it, to be fair, anymore, because I lost interest. But yeah, I'm sorry to say, because obviously I'm Spanish and I feel, you know, a little bit patriotic in this, with these things at times, but I have to be honest with myself and admit that I didn't think it deserved any more than
yeah, we can be objective and we can be critical about it. I think also the performance itself was not like natural. The movements weren't natural. Like, I don't know. It's not just about the dancing. There was almost no dancing, but everything around it was like very, not even choreographed. I don't know, like a robot. I don't know how to describe it, but it didn't look natural to me.
She talked about flamenco a lot, but, you know, we've probably seen a lot of proper flamenco dancers and so on, and it's very organic, and this was not organic at all. It felt really like a bit like a robot, which might come, you know, for people that have not seen this frequently, it might come as a surprise that we're saying this, but I think we've probably seen enough growing up in Spain to know that, just, you know, that's not what we consider flamenco, really. Maybe the song, but not the performance. And I'm sorry, Blanca Paloma, but not this year.
Identity check, but I have to say that not all of Spain is flamenco. I'm from the north. There's no flamenco at all in the north.
Yeah,
but I can agree that it's part of Spanish identity. So that's the one thing I liked about this entry. And then we have the UK.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise. I don't think she deserved that, the position that she got. Not necessarily the best performance. She sings well. She's not the best singer, but I think she did the song well. But yeah, the performance fell flat. Unfortunately, it didn't work with the audience because she didn't get many votes from the public either. But I think it was a shame, because she was quite popular, and I think she's actually gone into quite a few top tens around Europe now. So I don't think she deserved that position, clearly, based on the evidence that we can see now.
It's a very, very extremely catchy song, and you can hear yourself just doing the na 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 all the time. I do that all the time myself, and I didn't like the song at first, but it grew on me over the week, and everyone really, really liked it. Of course, we were in Liverpool and it was the UK entry, so everyone was kind of, but I think the performance itself looked very weird, and also hair wearing black, it should be like more colorful, especially for a 20 something year old girl. And I think the voice was not really the finest.
No, yeah, it's like I say, also she might have been quite tired about, you know, after, probably, I'm assuming that because she was a part of the host country, she might have had more performances than others around television shows, radio, etc. So I wouldn't be surprised if she was, you know, exhausted. It wasn't the best performance, but I think, to be honest, for a live show, you sometimes have to accept that the voice might fall flat or, you know, off key at some point. It was more the whole choreography and, how, like you say, how she was styled, all wearing black. She looked like an old lady and not like a 25-year-old girl that is talking about, you know, leaving a boyfriend behind and enjoying with her girls and singing songs. It just didn't work.
No, I agree there.
But yeah, I think the whole, you know, the whole thing, the whole result with the Big Five again throws questions about how deserved it is that five countries just go into the final, and how, I would say, is it really working in their as an advantage for them, the fact that other countries go into the semi-final, because they go in there and they have a chance to be seen by the public and be listened by the public first, so they can become a bit more popular. But also, if they are not liked, they will drop there, and to be honest, they will have, you know, they will spare themselves from the, I'm gonna say, shame of ending up with very few points. That's probably one of the reasons why most of the semi-finalists tend to do reasonably well, at least in terms of getting more points from the public and from the jury.
What do you think? I think at least, well, I'm not really supporting the Big Five should go to the final. I think they should go with all the rest of the entries to the semifinals. But if they don't want to do that, because there's some rules that the EBU have, probably at least they should perform in the semifinals. I know they rehearse and they record the rehearsal and then show some snippets of their performance, like 30 seconds, I don't know. It's not enough. They should perform live for everyone at home to watch and to at least get familiarized with the song and decide if they like it or not ahead of the final. Because, yeah, I don't think they get as much visibility as the other performers, and it goes against them.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And, you know, I think it would be fair as well if everyone that is going to the final performed in one semi-final, it would mean as well that everyone has had the same, first the same exposure, but also the same amount of work, because obviously people that just go into the final without going to the semi-final, they have the whole week to rehearse in their bedrooms and to, you know, organize themselves, and the other ones are having to make a hell of a lot of work back, you know, on stage and backstage, and you know, traveling around hotels and the arena. That, yeah, that's, you know, I don't know if the EBU and Mr. Eurovision probably disagree with me, but you know, and all the money that they would miss, I don't know if there would be another way to make sure that they still pay more. But I don't think they're really gaining much from just joining in the final, like you say, performing in every single semi-final, even if it's the way they sort of show it, which is two or three of the Big Five plus the host. They do, you know, they divide themselves into one semifinal and the other and just perform there. I agree.
Yeah, I think that's the end of our podcast for today.
Yeah, I think obviously we're not going to go into scores, etc. You can see, again, spoiler alert, just go on Wikipedia and check the whole thing. It's very detailed, so we're not going to bore anyone with
that. Yeah, we all have the details over the internet. So yeah, it was just an analysis on how we think everything should go and went. And yeah, we're going to be doing this with some of the shows over the years, and we're going to be picking them randomly, unless you want to pick them for us. So you can send us a message on Instagram and our email. Our Instagram handle is the Eurovision Files.
With a PH. Because we're talking about past archives or files, but we are Eurovision Files because we love the show. And the email address is the Eurovision Files, all together, no dots, no dashes, @gmail.com. And yeah, make sure that you follow us on Instagram. We're also going to add a link to the playlists both on Spotify and in YouTube, so you can listen to the songs but also watch the performances if you want, or watch the music videos, whatever is showing there. But that's going to complement whatever we've done.
And at some point we'll have some special guests with us from Eurovision and also from academic environments and non-academic environments, some other Eurofans, so have your eyes peeled for that. And your ears, not just your eyes.
Yeah, we might have some special guests from this Eurovision at some point even. Who knows? Things can happen.
Thank you everyone for listening. And we'll be back very soon.
See you soon.
Bye.